Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome back to another Sunday here at the garage. We took a week off last week, but we're back with you this week. And, you know, we're hoping everybody had a nice Father's Day. You know, it's very rare that NASCAR doesn't run their top series over the Father's Day weekend. Matter of fact, we had a really nice selection, a nice menu of races that ran last week through Xfinity. Camping World Truck Series, they both ran. And oh, by the way, a kid named Eric Jones, I don't know if you ever heard of him, but he only won both of them in different states. You betcha. He ran in Iowa, he ran in Illinois, and he won them both. Meanwhile, we had NHRA. They ran heats down in Bristol, Tennessee last week. But again, surprisingly, the sprint top tier, the sprint cup, was absent. Now this week we're going to kind of, well, turn around as fair play. NHRA is off this weekend. Xfinity will not run. There are no trucks moving. But the Sprint Cup, well, yeah, they're going to run out there on the left coast at Sears Point out in California. This is our one and only annual run at Sonoma Raceway, and it should be a good time. So listen, pull up first of all, yeah, there's some chairs right there behind you by the door. Grab yourself a chair. Pour yourself a cup of coffee. Yeah, it's right there on the workbench. Yeah, donuts. Bring the donuts. I'm glad you got those with you. And settle back and relax. I'll tell you what we'll do by way of quick preview this morning. We're going to chat a few things. I guess number one would be rules, rules, rules. Yeah, NASCAR is pulling out all the stops to try to make the sport better. Well, how are they going to do that? Well, they're going to eliminate even a little more downforce and drag without necessarily increasing horsepower, and they're removing a little bit more of the aero dependence. Well, what does all that mean there? We're going to talk about it, and we're going to kick it around the garage. So when's the change going to take place? Well, actually pretty soon, in 2 weeks, when the series runs at Kentucky Speedway. Also, we'll look at how good your memory is. Do you remember a couple of weeks ago? My goodness, I don't remember what happened yesterday. But a couple of weeks ago, we did have a race, and NASCAR went out, and they set up camp at Michigan at precisely the same time as Mother Nature brought in some terrible weather. So it was a long delay, for those of you that do remember. Finally, a deal was struck to get in about 100 laps of racing on the track, and the other 100 laps was mostly used for swimming across the track. Yeah, right. At any rate, we'll share our take on the results of that one, the rainy day in Michigan. We're also going to chat about what we know, well, what we think we know, what maybe we'd like to see this afternoon at the crazy 12-turn course of Sonoma Raceway, Infineon track out there on the left coast. Will we have a repeat winner, do we think? Well, you know, history suggests 10 different winners in the last 10 years, you know. So, oh, maybe the odds suggest we ought to expect something different. Also, the silly season of stock car, it's been noticeably void of any drama so far. I mean, I can't help but take notice of that. You know, the races have been relatively boring. What are we going into, our 17th, I believe, event? And lately, what have the storylines been? The storylines have been like baby booms. And, oh, Junior, he got engaged. Really? Yawn. I don't know. The Confederate flag thing has kicked up a recent hullabaloo. We'll toss that one in as an over-the-wall segment to just kick it around. Maybe get your take on it out there. Do you think NASCAR is doing the right thing to come out hard and fast on the Confederate flag thing? Interesting. That's about the only drama I can think of. But, hey, talking that NHRA stuff, and we're going to bring our own frat house Mike in for this segment, you know, everything's not quite so vanilla in the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. And we're going to touch on a bit of the war of words between two popular NHRA camps. How about that John Force Racing versus Don Schumacher Racing? Now, this has created some recent buzz, and maybe NASCAR, you know, would like to buy in a little drama just to get things spiced up. So stick around for that. Of course, as usual, we're hoping that we get our sidekick with us because we're counting on him getting his sidekick's picks in for us for our fantasy NASCAR. I'm just checking a message here. Okay. I don't know. Do I have Brandon with me yet?
Yes, you do.
All right. Very good.
Can you hear me good? Yeah. Mr. Sidekick had a little bit of storm damage last night, and they're assessing the situation and cleaning up a little bit. He is going to join us. He just said he's going to be a little late.
Yeah, that's really a shame. He came from Missouri, and you would expect out in Missouri where they would have all that kind of thing. He's only over in Manayunk area, right?
Yep.
Outside of Philly. And boy, I guess they really got drowned yesterday with the crazy winds and all of that. But we're going to hope to have him come on board. We're hoping to have Frat House Mike with us as well, as I said. Technical difficulties, I guess, going through a little bit this morning, but it's all good, folks. If you're out there and you're listening to us, I've got Brandon with me, my crew chief up on the pit box. Don't forget, you can join us. It's very simple to do. Pick up the phone, give us a call, 347-826-9964. That's one way in. Otherwise, you can hit us up on Skype. If you are streaming on your PC, you can climb into the chat room. You can leave your comments there. So very good morning to you, Brandon. I'm glad we've got you aboard with us. Let's kick it up this way. NASCAR singing, "The sun shines bright on my old Kentucky home." And I guess that's what they're hoping, right? Because we heard a couple of weeks ago that we're going to have a new aero package. They're going to try it at Sparta, and that'll be 2 weeks from now. That'll be a Saturday night race, folks. A Sunday night race, by the way. And what did we hear, Brandon? We heard Executive VP Steve O'Donnell basically say that the results of the race at Kentucky will determine if, in fact, this new aero package is the way to go. What's your take on what you've read about it? What can we expect? What changes are coming to the car?
Okay, first, what I've read about it is it seems like what they're trying to do is make a package, and we've heard this before from NASCAR, where they put the driving back in the driver's hand. They don't want all this aerodynamic dependencies on the car. And, you know, as soon as you go to pass somebody, your car starts to push. You know, you can't make the pass. So they're trying to make the suspension more mechanical. In other words, spring rates, air pressure in the tires, you know, track bar adjustments, you know, physical suspension changes versus, you know, aero. And, you know, you hear about Jimmy Johnson pulling the side skirts out. You know, essentially was an adjustment because they were changing the way the air flowed around the car. NASCAR don't want any of that anymore because really that's not the way you should depend. They're trying to make it back to, you know, more of an old school racing where, you know, I make my spring rate a little heavier on the left rear and now my car is going to turn better, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Now, will this... Go ahead.
Well, I was also going to say what it's going to do is it's going to, you know, make your better drivers, you know, more, you know, into it. You're going to see guys like maybe Tony Stewart, maybe Kyle Busch, some of your Kurt Busch, some of your better drivers, you know, be able to, not that some of them haven't been running well, but you're going to see more moves. I think you'll see more passing, more action. You might see a kind of thing where, you know, say they come in and get tires, you know, Brad Keselowski goes out there and it's running on fire for 20 laps. then his car falls off and somebody, you know, is faster, you know, and you'll see, I think you'll see a lot more, you know, different types of cars out there being run. In other words, they're not all going to be the same. You're going to see short runs, long runs, you know, that kind of thing. And I think that's, I think it'll make it more interesting.
Yeah, hopefully, right? So, I mean, ideally, if I get what you're saying, we're going to be able to put, I guess, vehicle performance a little back in the hands of the drivers, more so now with the Kentucky package and going forward. Now, this is for mile and a half only, though, right? They're not changing anything else. The other,
well,
the other courses, right, setups
are
pretty much standard.
Yeah, the big tracks are set up in such a way, like Daytona and Talladega, to try to keep the cars on the ground. They don't really care about the aero stuff because they got the draft there. So the draft kind of negates, you know, if all the downforce makes
right.
a push.
Yeah, right. Got you. You really want to have that, freight train kind of thing going on, I guess, at the restrictor tracks. You want to get into a draft. You want to fall in behind and with cars. Okay. Now,
That's why they won't let that. And as far as like a road course setup, I don't think aero ever really comes into play. You're making right and left turns, and not just left-hand turns. You're going right and left, and you're never coming up to the speeds and you know, the bank turns and all the stuff that affect the air, you know, at a road course. It's just a different environment, so it probably is, you know, not that critical. And besides, if you took away the downforce, I think you'd see a lot more spins. And a lot more, guys fighting in the turn would end up in the rough and out of the track. So, I don't know if that would help a road course. I think road course, from what we saw last year, they're pretty
more.
Good on the road.
Yeah. You're probably right.
I'm looking forward to this afternoon. I mean, I just can't wait to see. I like the road courses, though. So I'm in. I can't wait.
Yeah, this should be a fun one. 12 turns down there, out there, I should say, in California. Now, I was reading some of the, I guess, the specifics. They're changing the spoiler in the back. They're going to drop that down a bit. They're going to change, I guess, the front splitter extension, or I guess the radiator pan. That's going to be like reduced down in some size. What's the idea here? They want air to go underneath the car. Is that
right? Right.
What
they're
going to talk about here.
They don't want the air to push the car down so much. So, raising the front, lowering the spoiler. You know, they probably have some side stuff. You know, similar to that. You know, that Jimmy Johnson's team got in trouble for the side skirts. They may modify
maybe
them,
flare
more,
them out, or pull them
or
in.
No, they'll
right.
probably
okay.
push them in.
Push them
I
in further. Gotcha.
Them in.
Right.
So flaring
okay.
them out is what they've been doing, trying to get more
of
air.
That, I
yeah,
got you. More of
on
that
the
air
back
dependent.
Wheel.
I follow.
Right. So I think NASCAR is going to smooth it out, essentially, whether, you know, the teams like it or not. And
now, this was a good time to try this, right? I mean, because we figure that's 2 weeks away. They offered this prior to the off week, which was last week. Now, next week, we go to a plate track. This week, of course, we have a road track. So this was, I mean, a pretty... sort of an intelligent move by NASCAR if they were going to implement this, right?
Yeah, it gives them a couple of weeks to look at their results, you know, probably watch the videotape, see if the racing has changed significantly, if there were more passes. I mean, because when you watch it on TV, all you're seeing is the front for the most part. There could be a lot more passing going on in the lower, you know, middle to back half of the pack that we don't see. So that would make for a better race.
Mm-hmm.
So. And NASCAR, if they're smart, Fox and NBC, if they're smart, they'll cover that kind of thing, you know, because people want to see the action. You know, if somebody trades a position back and forth three times within two laps, you know, that's cool. That's fun to watch. I don't care if it is, you know, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Casey Mears, or, you know, it doesn't matter if it's not one of the front-running guys. I mean, good action's good action.
I would agree with you. Right. Sometimes those battles for 15, 16, 12, and 11, they're as compelling or almost sometimes more exciting for the very reasons that you've mentioned, because you get the one or two front-run cars, and all at once, you know, be it Harvick or Truex, name them, we've seen them, Johnson, well, they check out, and all at once they're opening up a lead. Oh, it's a half a second. Oh, it's three quarters of a second. Oh, it's a second and a half lead. And all at once, now there is nothing compelling about a lead for the front because our front runner just ran away with it.
Right.
Now, the tires. I mean, it really all comes down to riding on the tires, even though we're going to try this new package. What do we know? They tested this in April at the Kentucky track. However, it was a modified, slightly different aero package than, in fact, what I guess we're going to now see when we do go, in fact, to Kentucky for the race in 2 weeks. Trying to think. I believe his name is Stu Grant. He's a Goodyear GM who made a statement essentially saying, you know what, that aero package that we had there at Kentucky when we tested in April, we had a tire that we were planning on designing, but then, well, you know, NASCAR, they kind of stepped away, and they said, you know what, don't worry about it. We're not going to even try this for All-Star race when we get to Charlotte. We'll get back to you. Well, now, of course, we're going to go forward. So in a funny way, Goodyear is already kind of putting their hands in the air, palms up, saying, listen, we don't really have the tire for this. Do you think that'll be an issue or not?
Well, I think...
When we try it.
I think
they're
the
talking
tires,
softer, right? They're talking
yeah,
about
right.
maybe a softer, more grip kind of tire.
Yeah, what they want is see that now you got to look at what they're trying to do. They're trying to take downforce away from the car. Well, downforce, you know, drives the car into the track. So you would need to run a harder tire just for the tire to last throughout the race or the run, you know, number mm-hmm. of laps that they run on them. So now if you're going to take away a lot of that downforce, several hundred pounds of it, which is what they're talking about doing. Well, now you got a harder tire, so you might really have a hard time having traction. Hence, that's why I think Goodyear would rather make a softer compound tire to give mm-hmm. a little more grip than, you know, what they currently are running. I think if they're going to run the same harder compound tire, it's going to make it even more interesting because that's going to be, you know, driver. The driver's going to have to manage that, so... I think
yeah.
that's good.
Well,
I don't have a problem with it.
They'll be fighting a little bit of, what do you think, sliding, wheel chatter, maybe some of that
yeah.
kind of thing, right?
Maybe. It'll come down to who can drive it the best, pretty much. And that's good. I think that's, you know, if you have a car that's too glued, I mean, then it's essentially you're at a go-kart track driving around as fast as you can without, you know, having to lift or, you know, hit the brakes or none of that. See, that's where I think this is going to help. I think it's going to put more elements of, because I mean, we even heard about it not all that long ago at Charlotte. They're doing qualifying runs where they have the throttle matted all the way around the track in qualifying. It's like,
yeah,
okay,
you're right.
So now you're just driving a go-kart around a track.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not, you know.
Yeah,
you're running
flat out, and
right.
you're not gaining. You're not necessarily gaining on anything. I hear you.
Well, there's something to be said. There's different schools of thought. Some drivers over the years like to dive into the turn really hard, really fast. Other drivers would roll out at the end, you know, three quarters down the straightaway and, you know, kind of go into the turn a little slower and then, you know, halfway through come off and you get a better exit. All that
right.
kind of strategy, you don't see when you're running around matted. There is no
yeah.
letting off the gas or tapping the brake. You know, they're just driving. And I think these rule changes are going to take that out of it, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see different driving styles.
Speculate with me, if you would. I'm going to run through the tracks that remain before we get to chase time because, you know, chase time is going to kick up in Chicagoland, but we've got quite a few tracks that we're still going to visit. Obviously, Daytona next week, this package doesn't matter. We're going to try Kentucky the following week. As we mentioned, we're going to try this new aero package. Then we go to New Hampshire. That's a 1 mile. So that would be considered, what, a short track, I assume, right? They probably
well,
will keep a package.
Too, so. Yeah,
okay,
it's
so it's different altogether. Indianapolis, Pocono, they're 2.5 miles each. What's your take? Would they attempt to do some tweaking of a package for those kind of tracks where they're a little bit longer, 2.5 versus mile and a half?
I think what this is where when you look at some of the articles, NASCAR said something to the effect that we would have a, you know, the modified on a track-specific aero package. I think
mm-hmm.
tracks that are flatter, because you don't have the bank turns, they're going to have a compromise. In other words, a track like Kentucky that's high-banked, you know, they can take a lot more downforce away. I think you'll probably have less downforce at a track like New Hampshire or Pocono or Indy. But if you take too much away, you're going to see, especially at Pocono, I think it would be bad. I think you would see more crashes and violent crashes because of people losing control and stuff. So I think they, on a safety side, they probably would maybe have a, you know, a package where it's, you know, maybe the front, it's like half as high. In other words, you know, like they'll have different versions of it.
Right.
And I'm sure they've looked at it, you know, per track. And the tire issue there could be a big thing. If Goodyear has the softer tire ready by then, that might help, you know.
Yeah, that might
have
change
to tweak it.
It
as much, right, yeah.
Got you. Now, we're going to revisit Michigan again. Of course, it got rained out. We're going to move there next and chat a little bit about that race from 2 weeks ago. But we're going to move to Michigan in only about five or six race events from now. That's a two-mile track. Would that be something like a Kentucky? I mean, that has decent banking, right? They might be able to try an aero pack successfully there.
Yeah, the lowest downforce possible there, because that's a track that you constantly see the aero push come into issues, where you see guys, you know, they run up on somebody from 10 car lengths bank, like they're sitting still, and then they just hit a wall because of the air. They hit that aero push. Michigan's one of the best tracks, I think, the less downforce will make for a better race. And it's so big that the drivers are going to have to control the throttle. They're going to have to let off. They may even have to hit the brakes because, you know, when you don't have as much downforce, you can't just go full throttle into that turn and hope it sticks. So I think that's one of the tracks that's going to make a big difference on. That's of all the ones we brought up, that's the one I'm actually looking forward the most to see if the racing does improve.
Okay. So we'll get a good taste of it with Kentucky in 2 weeks, and then you're saying your appetite is wet then to hopefully see something of it again by the time we get to Michigan, and that'll be, of course, sometime in August. What is that, around the middle of August or so. All right, that's very cool. Well, I appreciate it. I know
some of
the
other ones you mentioned are good. The other ones you mentioned, that it could improve the racing. I mean, I've never been a big fan of New Hampshire. I mean, it's just a flat 1 mile track, and it's never really been that compelling. But I mean, Indy and Pocono is one of my favorite. I love watching Pocono. It's like it's kind of like a road course, the way it has three unique turns that are totally different, so you can't set the car up to run perfect everywhere. So take a little downforce away at Pocono, and that could be even more fun.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. There you go, folks. See, that's why Brandon is our crew chief, because he does know. He's a race fan. How long now, Brandon? You're a race fan for 20-something years or longer, right?
Oh, back in the 80s. I think I went to my first NASCAR race in the mid-80s somewhere.
It's outstanding. So, you know, you've got a lot of history, and you've seen the change of the sport, which is very, very cool. Now, folks, if you're out there and you have an opinion, do you like what we're going to attempt here going forward with the new rules? Is NASCAR finally going to break through and offer us some compelling racing action in the second half of the year? Give us a call. Let us know what your opinion is. 347-826-9964. Hey, if you thought there was a pretty good race event that we've had so far and you'd like to share it with us, give us a call and let us know that too. What was your favorite race if you've had one this year? What do you think the best race could be? New package or old? Let us know. Climb aboard. Brandon, I'll tell you what we should do. Maybe let's talk a little bit about that run we had back in Michigan 2 weeks ago. You remember that? Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Yeah.
I remember lots of rain and lots of delays and jokes about, you know, we need a boat to run this race, and lots of talking to everybody and anybody they could get on. But I vaguely remember.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing when it comes to playing outside, and again, you know, tapping on your own experience with NASCAR, I'm sure you've experienced rained out events or rained shortened races. This is nothing new, right, Brandon? I mean, this happens.
Racetrack in the rain is, no matter what, the least fun thing you can do.
Right.
Because there's nothing to do. You're there for a purpose. That purpose, you know, is taken away by the weather, and you just got lots of people around, bored, you know, trying to stay dry, maybe warm if it's cold or rain. It's just there's nothing fun about a racetrack in the rain.
Yeah. You know, there was a lot of criticism. Obviously, did NASCAR do the right thing? So I'll hit you with the three biggest criticisms, and you tell me if you think NASCAR should have done something different. The first call that was made was, you know, the hue and cry essentially came down to, well, you know, listen, NASCAR, they were looking at this as all we got to do is get more than halfway and we can call this thing. We really don't care. We just want to get through it. You know what NASCAR really should have done? They should have just postponed it and run on Monday. What's your take?
I disagree with that. I think there's too many people that plan trips to go to these races. Some come from, you know, many miles away. Some, you know, have, you know, they spend a lot of time planning it. They don't have the ability to just say, oh, I can stay an extra day. You know, if you can get half the race in and give the fans a decent show, yeah, okay, they started the race. They didn't get much in. In that middle part, they actually did have a pretty good section of laps, a pretty good number of laps, and it was a pretty good show. And so it ended up a little short. You know, so I say because of the fans in attendance, you try to get something in on the day it's scheduled. You know, they couldn't have waited, you know, till after that rain, because the track doesn't have lights. It's not equipped to run a night race. So, you know, I think NASCAR made the best. So I'm not gonna, you know, complain about it as far as NASCAR is concerned. I think, you know, they got all this money invested in these air titans. They still have jet dryers. I think NASCAR does as good a job as they possibly can when weather happens. Mm. So, you know, I'm not saying that they did anything wrong, because I've been there. I mean, I've been at a racetrack. I've been there this year. I went down to Richmond, Virginia for the race, and the race got rained out, postponed on Sunday, and some of the people I was with didn't have the ability to wait. So we didn't get to see any racing. That's just the way it goes, unfortunately. You don't plan for weather. Not everybody has the ability to plan for weather.
No, and there's no controlling Mother Nature, so I hear you. Now, another hue and cry kind of came from the fact that, well, geez, Louise, we're here in Michigan, and, you know, they would have had daylight, you know, lasting till, you know, nearly 9 p.m. I mean, my goodness, why didn't they just wait out that final stop there? You know, they could have red flagged it for the fourth time and still run those air titans. I mean, my goodness, we were hearing those air titans, they can clean a football field in, you know, 30 seconds or some nonsense. You know, NASCAR just didn't care. They should have tried to dry that thing one more time. They've got all this high-tech electronic gadgetry that they bring to tracks. Why couldn't they have tried to go one more time? What's your take?
Well,
was there time?
All I remember,
would it have even made sense?
All I remember is when that race ended, it was pretty dark looking. It was pouring down rain. I mean, there was just water running everywhere. I don't know when it stopped and if they would have had the time to get it dried off to have any kind of meaningful run. I think at a certain point you just got to cut your losses, and I think that's what NASCAR did. You know, TV probably certainly didn't want them sticking around. You got to think, you know, Fox had their fill of it already. They're already way over the normal scheduled time. You know, they filled for, you know, how many other weather delays earlier. You know, what are they going to fill that time with? So, you know, I think it was probably the best call to just call it. I mean, that storm they were having was very unpredictable too, because they were watching it on radar. They thought they were done with it, and then new stuff just popped up out of nowhere. So there's no guarantee. And I mean, I guess if we could look at the way the weather did play out after the race, I wasn't there, so I don't know. I don't know if it would have stopped in a reasonable time or more came and it wouldn't have worked. I don't know. I think they did the right thing. They had a fair number of laps, and they were well past halfway. So I'm not going to give them a hard time on that.
No, I agree. And again, I bring it to you because you've been through the experience as a race fan for all the years that you've been. And rain outs and rain shortened events are part of the deal when we choose to root for, you know, our stock car drivers. That's about the only element we really have no control over. Hey, we play outdoors, folks. There's really not much we can do. And no matter how you look at it, I tend to agree pretty much with everything you've said, Brandon. NASCAR found itself in a no-win situation. No matter what choice they would have made or decision they would have tried, they were up against it with Mother Nature. And you can't fool Mother Nature. That was the,
no.
That was the old commercial. You can't fool Mother Nature.
I would venture a guess that if you asked most of the fans in attendance at the time, that they were probably in agreement with NASCAR and what the choice they made. Because, you know, they had, you know, a lot of them had to travel, and they were probably already leaving late than they were planning with the, you know, earlier delays. So adding another 2+ hours, I mean, because it takes them,
yep.
you know, an hour plus to clean, dry the track. And then if
yep.
they do get to run any laps till they run out of daylight, is it worth it? You know, how many fans
yeah.
would even stay? I mean, a lot of fans, when it rains at a racetrack, they get to their car, they're like, that's it, I'm out. See you.
Well,
have a nice day.
You're right, dude, because, you know, it was like a 4.5-hour event from start to finish, 2 hours and 15 minutes of which were, as you say, endured for complete red flag stoppages. There was heavy rain. I mean, it wasn't just a little rain. It was heavy rain. Obviously, you know, the teams, the drivers, the sponsors, the broadcasters, they tried to while away the washed out event. It actually was punctuated by some pretty good competition that Mother Nature allowed to happen in between. But with that fourth and final red flag at 1:38, severe rain moved in, as you mentioned. I mean, there was lightning. It chased
yeah.
a few remaining spectators out of the stands. I mean, so a lot of folks were grumbling, but I tend to agree with you. When you're dealing with that kind of severe weather, I don't think anybody wants to take a chance of being liable for, you know, the safety and welfare of all the people involved at that event. It turned out, though, Kurt Busch, he secured the victory, right? Got his second of the year. This was his third at Michigan. It was the 27th of his career, which is very good. Was the first time we saw a race called for rain since, you'll probably recall, last year at Daytona. We saw Eric Almirola, and that ended under red with 48 laps to go in some heavy rain. Like the Daytona event, Michigan endured, as I say, the three red flag delays. You know, it was ultimately a fourth red flag that called it. But what was fun, I guess, if there was any way to call it fun, what was sort of fun or different was the uncharacteristic finishes of many of the top-tier guys that we expect to be in the front who were not. And victory ultimately was awarded to a lucky dog in Kurt Busch. It came down to pretty much a weather roulette, right, Brandon?
Yeah, pretty much. That happens from time to time. You know, I don't know that you can say Kurt Busch didn't earn it. I mean, he wasn't like a backmarker in that race. He ran pretty well.
He
wasn't necessarily, you know, one of the first two or three cars, but he was in the back half of the top 10 all day. And that team's known for, you know, making improvements as they go and adjustments and making the car better. So, you know, he might have just been in that natural position of, hey, okay, we finally got the car right, now we're going to run up front, kind of thing. Where I think the Eric Almirola thing you brought up from Daytona last year was kind of like a what you call a cheap win. I mean, he wasn't up front all day. He just happened to, you know, stay out at the right time.
It certainly could have been Kyle Larson for that very
sure.
reason this year, because, of course,
he
decided, right, he wanted to roll the dice and take that gamble and stay out because – and I don't know, I guess it would have been a cheap win. You know, I like Kyle Larson, but I probably, as a fan, I would have considered it sort of a cheap win myself. I would have put it right there with the Almirola thing. Had Larson, in fact, been in front when they called it for rain and then the thing finally got called for good, I would have considered it sort of like, oh, not a satisfying victory, especially when he's looking for his first. Looking at my notes here, we had essentially the best part. Where am I on my outline here? The best part of the day. We got through that, right? We talked about those delays. The best, really, the field went green at lap 60. And for like the next 78 laps, that was the best part of the race, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess really at that point, people weren't just racing for the win. They were actually at that point racing against weather now. And what was very good and neat about it, again, if you could find something good, was that pit strategy suddenly came into play. And folks were worried about, oh, when do I pit out? When do I stay on? As I mentioned, Larson's gamble didn't time out properly when he wanted to stay. But we saw a number of different leaders, especially in that final series of maybe 10 or 12 laps, where leaders shuffled out and leaders shuffled back. Interestingly enough, Harvick led the most laps. He had 63. Edwards led 41. You know, but these guys were not the guys that actually finished up front. Casey Kane, if you remember, he ran from the pole, and unfortunately, he only led one lap, and that was the second one. So,
poor Casey.
Yeah, poor Casey. Raspberries to Casey. Let's mention Kyle Busch if we can, because it turned out to be a kind of a Busch weekend. Obviously, Kurt won the Sprint Cup. Kyle had an absolutely flawless run the day before at the same track in Xfinity. But, geez, what to say. Brandon, you saw the spin. It was reasonably early. We'd already had two or three delays when he spun. What do you think? Was it weather-related?
There was talk. There was some rain, yeah, and it looked pretty violent. I mean, that car just turned right and went right into the wall. I had read a story, or maybe it was a audio clip, where Kurt Busch was right behind him, and he was on the radio to his crew saying, check with Kyle, make sure he's all right. He really hit hard. He was really concerned. So it must have looked really violent on the track itself. It's hard to say. I don't know. You know, NASCAR always takes grief when you have weather, because people say, well, it's not that bad, let them keep running. And then they let them keep running and somebody crashes. You can't win no matter what you do.
Once again, another no-win. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a no-win deal. So, I didn't hear anything negative from Kyle. Kyle didn't come out and trash NASCAR. He didn't say anything, negative. So I don't think it's that big an issue. Hopefully, he doesn't suffer from this race. I hope he's still able to, get up the points he needs to if he does pull off a win, which I still believe he does. He will. He may even do it today. Kyle's a pretty good road course racer, so yeah, never know. And I still think he has the shot to, win a race and then get in that points. He has a lot less margin for error now, that's for sure, because I believe he actually finished 43rd. He finished dead last, so he got as little points as possible.
Yeah, that was a real tragedy. He's currently, at this point, 173 points behind the 30th place driver, which is Justin Allgaier. And the most troubling statistic, which really I can't blame him for, he's got two DNF and four events that he's been able to run since his return. Of course, he returned for the All-Star race, which is not a points race. So in the other four, unfortunately, he's had two DNF. One was an accident he was taken out of, and of course, last week we saw the spin. He was able to continue, but unfortunately, he continued right to the garage. So that ended his day. Now, you mentioned Sonoma. Historically, it's not been very beneficial for Kyle. In the last seven events, he started an average of 16th to start, and he's finished an average of like 21st. On the bright side, he does have a win. And you may have mentioned that he does have a win at Sonoma, but that came back in 2008. He qualified well, I believe. What is he coming from? Maybe top six, top eight?
Yeah, I think he's up there somewhere.
Yeah, and
the Toyotas. A lot
say?
Of the Toyotas are looking pretty good this week, and this could be another good track for the Toyotas.
Track placement, right? Track position is going to be key. All right, we're gonna clean it up. Martin Truex Jr. Gotta love this guy, right? There's nothing bad to say about Martin. Third place finish at Michigan, 14th top 10 in 15 races of the year. I think we all heard it, but I'll echo it again. He joins the ranks of Richard Petty in the record books. The only other driver to manage that rate of success since going all the way back to your birth year, 1969. Uh-oh. Yeah, ain't that cool? I thought that was a pretty cool stat.
That is a good stat.
And
a good guy. I feel good for him. I like what he's doing, and I hope he continues to have a great season. He deserves it.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. And Kurt Busch, by the way, he did get that win, as I mentioned last week. I was this is his first multi-win season since he did it back in 2011. He was driving for Penske at that point. And bear in mind, too, folks, that Kurt Busch spun out in practice, and he had to get that win in a backup car. So I guess cheers to his automotive crew for having a backup car that was absolutely set up perfectly for Kurt Busch to wheel it off the hauler and essentially go qualify and win the race. And as you say, it wasn't just a cheap win, Brandon. He actually did run in top 10 and top 5 for quite a bit of the day. In the standings, listen, right now, it's that bubble position. 40 points are separating Aric Almirola in 15th place from Kyle Larson in 18th place. And let's bear in mind that Kyle Larson missed a race this year. So how do you give, you know, you give Kyle Larson a win and the 43, 45 additional points that he would have gotten there, and that would turn everything on its head. You got Newman in there in 16th. You've got Bowyer in there in 17th, respectively. This is still wide open, right? And I think we're going to see some drama and we're going to see some fun today, right, at Sonoma.
I think so. I think you're going to see somebody who doesn't necessarily have that much of a chance to win at other tracks. You know, up front, obviously, A.J. Allmendinger did it last year at Watkins Glen. He's starting from the pole. You know, there's other guys like that. You know, you might see a Jamie McMurray runs well out there, and he's not saying he can't win anywhere else, but this might be the opportunity. Tony Stewart hasn't been able to get going at all, but he's a pretty good road course driver. You know, we mentioned Kyle earlier as he needing to win in a past winter there. You know, a guy like Jeff Gordon, who probably has, and I think I did read this, has the best active record of any driver at road courses. You know, and he certainly needs a win to get into his, you know, final year chase. So I think we might see a different winner this week. It just kind of, you know, sets up nice.
Yeah, it really does. And it should be a good time. Few other things on the agenda, but I see what time it is, and I'm going to throw out the number. Anybody wants to give us a call, feel free to climb aboard with us. 347-826-9964. We'll switch gears, literally. We're going to switch gears, Brandon. I did mention in my opening that we've had a lack of drama with anything in NASCAR. Hopefully today we'll start to see some, the switch get turned on. We've got a plate track next week. Hopefully that'll ramp up excitement. New aero package, Kentucky. So maybe over the next two or three, we'll start to see some feuding, some fun, some tension build in stock cars. But, you know, not for anything. We shared around amongst us here at the Frat House the recent story of NHRA feuding that is going between John Force Race and DSR Racing. And Frat House Mike uploaded a little sound clip I'm going to play here, and then we're going to bring Frat House Mike in with you, and we'll chat about some of what's going on with John Force, because it certainly sounds as though John Force, champion that he is, say what you want about the guy, he's starting to sound a little bit crazy, maybe a little bit paranoid. Give this clip a listen.
With John Force, you mentioned it's the 143rd time that he's savored a moment like this. I want to know how special it is when you beat a Don Schumacher opponent in the other lane for the wallet.
What's really special? I'm in Epping. I've got to take care of Auto Club New England. I've got to take care of Chevrolet right now. So many people, Lucas Oil, you know, Mac Tool, people who have come in and stood by me, Traxxas, when I failed miserably. You know what I'm saying? Everything we could do wrong. And I ain't saying we can whip Schumacher. Him and I talked today. I ain't saying that, and I don't care about that. But they can say they're going to rip my throat out like Mike Dunn said that Prudhomme said, because he said it to me. But they'll never rip my heart out. You understand that? So right now, this trophy's going home to Peak. Old World Industries, you gave me a ride, and Traxxas and all you guys, but Emmerich, this is your goddamn trophy, and I love you, and that's the way the shit is.
Wow. Love it.
All righty,
I didn't hear that with without the beeps before. I like that.
Okay, well, it appears, well, I take that back. It sounds pretty contentious, and I don't know. Is this, Frat House Mike, talk to us a little bit about this. Brandon, talk to us a little bit about it. You both know NHRA more than I do. This sounds like a little bit of sour grapes from John Force. You know, Jimmy Prochy up and left last year. He's recently offered his take on why he left the organization and under what circumstances he left. And now, of course, we hear John is just ready to fight the world. What is this good for NHRA? Is this legit? Is there a feud? Talk to us, Fred Els, Mike.
Brandon, but what in the world? I you know, when you hear his comments on that, now that one was from that was from the New England Nationals, which was that was June 14th, so it was 2 weeks
ago. That's the only
clip
you could have found. The ESPN wouldn't put a mic in front of him last week, apparently.
Well, right, not last week, but didn't this actually start? This started, I believe, at Englishtown, where he first made the comment.
Yeah.
And that was the week before, where he first made the comment that the Don is trying to destroy me. He's trying to ruin me. Of course, making reference to Don Schumacher Racing. But in this particular clip, Brandon, he's saying Mike Dunn said this, and he's bringing up Prudhomme. I mean, what in the world? You got to wonder whether the guy's starting to lose it a little bit. I don't know.
I think with the Prudhomme thing, he might have been referring to, you know, a past race or something where, you know, sometimes drivers get a little contentious with each other and stuff like that, and he might have made a comment back in the day, you know.
Back in the day, the guy might be living back in the day at this particular moment,
John,
the way it sounds.
He's been around forever. He's a legend. He's been a little nuts. I don't think John Force could ever be, you know, accused of being fully sane. I mean, I think that's part of why people love him. I mean, he is nuts. You know, you put a mic in front of him, you put a mic in front of his daughters, their mouths just start going.
Yeah, really. Now, you know, I don't know what prompted all of this. I know that, you know, listen, you and I both heard it live when it happened in Englishtown, and you and I immediately turned to look at each other with, very quizzically going, what in the world, where did that come from? And so there's been this running thing back and forth where John's coming out, I mean, making these accusations that DSR is trying to ruin him. You got to wonder, I mean, is this being fueled by, is it being fueled by the fact that DSR is just a juggernaut this year? I mean, they're dominating everywhere. Over in Top Fuel, they've got the number one, the number two spot right now. Spencer Massey sits in five. So they're dominating over in Top Fuel. They're dominating in Funny Car, number one, number two. Matt Hagen, Ron Capps, number one and number two. Jack Beckman's number five. Who am I missing? Tommy Johnson's number six.
Yeah.
So Courtney right now is the only one of the four drivers that's below the line. Even Brittany is above the line over in Top Fuel. So for what John's got, he's doing fine. And my suspicion would be there's more than enough events remaining that Courtney, I think, we'll probably find our way into the countdown. Is it just that DSR is so dominant this year?
Well, I think a lot of it, as Uncle Mark mentioned, might go back to the Jimmy Prock situation. I think, you know, Jimmy Prock was John Force's crew chief at the end of last year, and in the middle of a championship run, you know, it came out that Prock was going to, you know, go to Schumacher for the following season because Schumacher, you know, was giving him more money. And, you know, but Prock contends he was content staying there and he was going to do his job and there was no problem, but John Force wouldn't let it go like that. So, you know, maybe that's what started it. I mean, maybe Force feels, you know, Schumacher hired my personal crew chief away from me and in the middle of a championship run. Maybe he got a little grudge going. It's hard to say. On another note, along the same lines, I mean, this kind of stuff's usually good for racing. You get feuds going. You know, you got, you know, half
sure.
the fans will pick one side, the other half will pick the other. You know, maybe they're just a little smart enough to know to just keep this going. You know, Schumacher and Force have been around for a long time. They've seen, you know, go back to, you know, the Snake and Mongoose days and the Kenny Bernstein and Prudhomme wars, and they used to call them the beer wars with Larry Dixon Jr. in the Miller Lite car and Brandon Bernstein in the Budweiser car. You know, they always had good feuds going, and maybe this is, you know, Force and Schumacher saying, hey, this ain't hurting nothing. Let's just play this up a little. I don't
Let
know.
Me
maybe
ask
I'm
you.
Wrong.
I've got a question then, if I might. You know, one of the articles we shared over was Jimmy Prok recently speaking for, I guess, essentially the first time to media about how he left John Force Racing last year. And that he had expressed essentially, well, you know, I told him at the end of the year, I don't know if I want to stay. I think maybe at the end of the year, I'm going to consider what my options are. But he claims, Jimmy Prok, that DSR was not necessarily, you know, part of the conversation, that in fact he left it open. You think there's some really, really still bad, bad feelings about that, that maybe John can't get around?
Oh, absolutely.
Right, that's really what this comes down to. My impression was that once John heard, oh, you're leaving? Well, I'll tell you what, you can start now and pack your things.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that, if you recall, and Brandon, right. if I remember, you actually came out and said, well, that kind of makes sense. I mean, you know, you don't want to run the risk when you're in the countdown. You don't want to run the risk of the guy doing something that would hamper your chances. So, you know, I don't know. You know, one of the things I will say for the Prok comments, which were published in the article on Monday, just this past Monday, which appeared over on Competition Plus, Prok paints a picture of John Force, who is almost a megalomaniac.
No, I think we've kind of heard that before. I mean, let's go back to, you know, in the early days of John Force having a teammate, Tony Petragon, who's, you know, Cruz Petragon's brother, won championships for Force. And when he left, that became, he's like public enemy number one. They still jarb at each other from time to time, you know, when Tony Petragon's actually relevant. I mean, he's not really that team's not really one of the leaders out there. But, you know, John Force holds a grudge and doesn't let go when he feels betrayed by somebody.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also, you know, it's, you know, in corporate culture, you know, Brandon and I both work in IT, you know, where we have the keys to the kingdom, and it's not unheard of when you put your notice in that they say, hey, we understand that you're being considerate in giving us your 2 weeks' notice, but you've got the keys to the kingdom, and we don't want you screwing with anything.
Right.
So, you know what? We're going to let you go to effective immediately.
Right.
We'll give you your 2 weeks' pay and everything, but you got the keys to our kingdom, and we don't want you messing anything up.
Right.
So, you know, it's not unheard of that when someone says, hey, you know, I'm thinking about leaving, or I'm going to leave, but I'm going to leave after this period, that they say, hey, you know, hasta la vista, you know, here's the key, you know, goodbye. You know, we don't want you hanging around. Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's kind of the point that we were making, too, at the, you know, at the end of the season last year, when Prok ultimately moved on. I mean, listen, we were all, you know, Brandon, you and I were very, very surprised by it. And then, of course, it almost seemed like a matter of hours. I guess it was actually a couple of days, but it felt like a couple of hours. Prok's announcing I'm going over to Jack Beckman. Well, we're sitting there going, oh, okay, all right. Okay, I think we see what's going on here. But, no, you're absolutely right. Psychic, I think that was the point we were making before. I mean, I think John was, you know, we read it as John was being safe by not allowing this guy to potentially hold his future in his hands and you know, purposely mess that up.
Yeah, and bear in mind, too, though, at that time, John was not sure who his new sponsor was going to be. He did not know what manufacturer he was going to be driving. So I guess you kind of add on those additional stresses, because we're talking a year ago when, you know, or not quite a year ago, but last season, when Jimmy Prok more or less said, by the way, I'm going to up stakes and move on at the end of this year. So, yeah, it kind of, I guess, it kind of marries into what you all are getting at, and that is, you know, I guess John was saying, you know what, everything's changing. So if you're telling me you're leaving, you'll be the first thing that can change. So that's very interesting. Is it good for the sport? It doesn't hurt the sport, right? There's no such thing as bad publicity, right?
I don't think
so. It doesn't hurt it. I don't know if it's necessarily drawing any new ones in, because I kind of think that drag racing's a niche watch anyhow. So I don't know if it's necessarily, it's not like as if it's oh wow, this is a real crowd pleaser. I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, it certainly makes for some intriguing fun come next weekend when we're out in Ohio. I mean, you know, you just can't. I mean, we were joking about it last week. Oh, come on, put a microphone in his face. Let's see what he says today.
Well,
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see if it keeps going. I'll be curious to see if the war of the words continues or if it kind of backs down.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I was going to say, Fred House Mike, is that where we're going? Are they? Is it Ohio or Norwalk? Where are they going next week?
Yeah, we're going to be out in Ohio for the Summit Motorsports Park out there in Norwalk.
Okay.
And immediately after that, then the week right after, we turn right around and go out to Route 66 in Chicago. So it looks like we got a couple right in a row right here, which will be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And that'll keep it live. That'll keep it going.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, listen, we just heard from our own Fred House sidekick. And we just wanted to give a welcome on board. How you doing there, sidekick? Welcome to the Sunday program with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back on.
No,
we're starting to get into a full schedule now. You know, I'm just popping up all over the place now.
Well, that's the idea. That's what these guys have been waiting for, and all the audience has been waiting for. We're waiting for you to come on back to the Frat House East and, jump in and join in. We've got a few minutes here before the top of the hour. Anybody's out there, you want to reach out and give us a call. We've got the whole gang here. Yours truly, along with my crew chief, Brandon. We've got our favorite Piggly Wiggly Ford Fusion pilot sidekick has just joined us. And, of course, up on top, yep, our spotter, Frat House Mike. And we're going to chat a little more Sonoma Raceway and maybe some fantasy kind of stuff. I did want to throw this out there only because, and it's kind of switching back to a NASCAR feel, but it's about the only thing that's kind of jumped up in NASCAR, unlike the NHRA we just discussed, which is, you know, kicking up a little bit of dust with the war of words. We got the Confederate flag, the Southern Cross. Some people call it the Stars and Bars, and all at once, this has become part of our national lexicon, and we are, I guess, as a society, as a nation, we're starting to confront what the meaning of the flag is, sort of a la the name Redskins in the NFL football world. And so there's going to be lots of plausits and pundits that are going to come forward. But specifically to the sport of stock car racing, we initially heard that, and I thought it was the right way to do it, like last Tuesday, essentially NASCAR said, you know what? We kind of see both sides of this, and we understand that, you know, it could be something of a divisive symbol. So we're going to hold with our tradition of, listen, we're not going to be waving the flag at sponsored events. But, listen, people are people, freedom of speech, freedom of expression, it is what it is. Well, more recently, I don't know if it's fact or just blogs, but yesterday, of course, a lot of the different sites blew up with Brian France coming out with a more, focused attempt to eliminate a flag for the Southern Confederacy. Does NASCAR need to go here, number one? Is it right or wrong whether the flag flies at their events? I mean, they've been around forever. And if they really wanted to blaze the trail, why are they doing it now and they didn't do it before? Who wants to kick it off? I mean, irrespective, you don't have to necessarily tell me your personal views, unless you want to, about, you know, the Southern Cross as an emblem. My question is, why is NASCAR getting knee deep into this?
Do they need to? This is more about, isn't it more about the stereotype, the Southern redneck view of race car driving? I mean, that's why NASCAR is making the statement. Do they need to? No, my opinion, absolutely not. And really, when it comes right down to it, I think by simply doing it, it's nothing more than just a little bit of continued grandstanding on their part to say, hey, put us into the mix, count us, you know, make sure that we're counted in there. Do they need to? No, they don't have. Absolutely not. And like I said, I think it's just a lot of grandstanding. But I think too that there's that stereotype with regard to what is the NASCAR fan, and I think that NASCAR wants to separate themselves from that stereotype. I don't know. Either of the others can jump in on their opinion as well. But I think that's what it's about.
Well,
yeah, Brandon,
I'll tell you.
What do you say? Mm-hmm.
Here's what I think. NASCAR probably made a bit of a mistake because you don't want to alienate your core fan base by coming out against a symbol that they may or may not like. I think Frethouse's Mike is correct that they really didn't have to do this. I think they did it because it's a PC thing to do now. I mean,
right.
The sports NFL, you know, had to embrace domestic violence with Oliver Rice thing. You know, so NASCAR's got to – this is NASCAR's thing. I mean, let's get it right. You go to a NASCAR race and you go to the campgrounds and every other camper got a Confederate flag flying. I mean, that's just,
mm-hmm.
you know, a
mm-hmm.
lot of people almost view that as a NASCAR-type fan,
yeah.
which doesn't really
– Again, I think that's unfortunate. I think that's
yeah.
an unfortunate stereotype.
I mean, whether or not you want to make the argument that the flag stands for racism or hate, against one individual ethnicity or not, I don't know. I can't say.
It's funny.
I don't
view it that way.
I never viewed it that way either. I always viewed it as, you know, hey, this was the Confederate Army's flag during
exactly.
the Civil War. You know, I think I had heard somebody else say, you know, about flags. I mean, you know, the Nazi Germany had their flag during World War One. You know, the Japanese had their, you know, with the zero flag. I mean, you always see nations, you know, that are in wars have, you know, their flags flying. So, you know, I don't see how the Confederate flag, even though it was an American Civil War, has any less, you know, right to its history than, say, the other flags. I'm not saying it stands for something positive, but you don't, you know, you pointed out to me yesterday, which I wasn't even aware, it's actually, what, the South Carolina state flag?
I believe so.
Case, I mean, I don't know. I don't know that, I'm not sure. You know, I think a lot's being made about it. I mean, I think people look for something in this world to get on their bandwagon about and, you know, go out and get their voice heard. And I think this could just be one of those things.
We got to be able to blame somebody.
Yeah, I don't know. I know there's groups out there, you know, like white supremacist groups and stuff that use the flag as a symbol of their organization, and that probably would taint the thing.
Sure.
And I don't disagree with NASCAR if they say, hey, we don't want to deal with this, we don't want to be associated to that, and that's fine. You know, I don't think NASCAR should be, you know, stuck, you know, with this symbol around their neck for the rest of their lives, you know, whether they like it or not. The flag should still have a place in history. Whether or not it's flown or not, I think that's a matter of public or personal preference based on whether it's in a group setting or, you know, your own home. I mean.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Sidekick? You have an opinion on NASCAR with the stars and bars, the Southern
oh,
Cross?
Oh, good Lord.
Do you
really want me to weigh in on this?
Well, sure we do.
That is why we asked you to call.
Do we have enough time for me to weigh in on
this? I think I know where
this?
We're going. I know.
All
we're
right. So
on this.
This is just another example of NASCAR cowtailing to the masses. So, you know, this is just a replay of the whole Kurt Busch thing with domestic abuse. Everybody, you know, he's all bent about. You know, he's all. You know, NASCAR's all bent. You know, Kurt Busch is accused of being a wife beater. Blah blah blah. You know, we don't have any evidence. You're suspended. Now we got this, you know, we got the whole deal with the Confederate flag. Everybody wants to strip it off to General Lee, take it down in South Carolina, remove it from your state flags. Amazon's not selling it. Yahoo's not selling it. Ain't nobody going to sell a Confederate flag anymore. NASCAR's like, hey, we're Southern. Everybody, you know, a lot of NASCAR fans like to fly this flag. We need to distance ourselves from this because we don't want to be seen as the racist sport in America. You know, and it's funny because you go back to September of last year and you have an individual who wants to, you know, knock off a store, take some cigarette, you know, take some cigars, gets gunned down. Everybody wants to get all bent out of shape about stereotypes. You can't put a stereotype on us. You can't include us in this stereotype of people that wear their pants down around their butts and everything else. But you fast forward 10 months, all of a sudden those people that were crying, you can't stereotype us because that's unfair, are stereotyping a class, you know, a group of people that, you know, are proud of where they came from. They don't, you know, they're not proud of the fact of what they did. They're just proud of, you know, where they grew up. Just like, you know, people in Philadelphia, hey, I'm an Eagles fan, diehard Eagle fan. I'm a, you know, I'm a homer. I'm a St. Louis guy. I don't root. I live in Philadelphia. I don't root for any of the Philly teams. I root for all the St. Louis teams, no matter how bad they suck. You know what I mean? But I'm proud of where I came from. And I think, you know.
Which exactly of your teams suck?
That would be the one that moving to L.A. So they can go suck
in
L.A.
The other two are pretty good. I have to tell you they're sucky.
So, well, I was referring to the one that's moving to L.A.
Mm-hmm. They're not too bad.
So
I heard they got a new quarterback.
Yeah.
Now, if I may, I'll just play a little devil's advocate here.
You know, put the quarter in.
the situation with the NFL and the Redskins name isn't the same as NASCAR with the Southern Cross, right? A lot of people want to lump it together and say they're the same, but they're really not the same. We're talking two totally different issues, right?
Mm-hmm. I can see the similarity because
Similar, but I don't think NASCAR uses the flag as a logo of one of their teams or players. So, I do remember not too long ago there was a race called the Confederate 500, and they've had that. There was an actual race named that. But I don't think it's been that way for many years. I think
the word Confederate doesn't mean just one thing.
Well, they use the flag. The flag is used
in the logo
of the race.
And here again, Fred House, Mike, you bring up an excellent point. But everybody now is attached Confederate.
Oh, I know.
To racism,
which ain't necessarily true.
Exactly. There's plenty of meanings for a Confederate. But, you know, that's the problem now is everybody's so hypersensitive to this that any kind of, I wouldn't be surprised if there's people that are, you know, oh, we're confederated this or confederated that. And they're like, oh, man, maybe we should think about changing our name.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it seems like anymore we always have to turn and put the blame on something. You know, a guy goes into a church and opens fire and kills 9 people and suddenly – instead of talking about what the issue is there, we're talking about a flag. What? I mean, this is think about the how idiotic that is. I mean, seriously.
Well, and you know, I posted an article on Facebook, and not to get, I mean, you know, I don't want to really get
all.
Yeah,
I mean, we're getting political here on a right. It seems like we're getting political on a race show, but I mean, you know, I don't know. It's
very difficult to separate the politics of the issue. Go ahead. What was your thought, Sidekick?
Well, you know, everybody's so distracted about this flag thing that, mm-hmm. you know, there's all this other stuff that went on that nobody noticed. You know, you've got the Obama administration that was, you know, pushing through all these, you know, fast track bills and, you know, you've got, you know, 150 people a day dying in India due to the extreme heat. You know, all this other stuff. What's everybody talking about? This damn flag.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, the media wins again. You know, they pulled the wool over everybody's eyes. They're like, watch, we're gonna throw out a couple tidbits about this damn flag in South Carolina. Nobody, everybody's gonna be on social media watching the flag, and we're gonna go and do all this stuff while everybody's distracted. You know, it's like watching your kids. You know, the one kid distraction says, "Daddy, Daddy, read the book." Next thing, the other two kids are in the cabinets wreaking havoc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's basically what this is. You know what I
right.
mean? It's smoke and mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Yeah, I would agree. We haven't heard, have we, from any other major leagues about this issue, have we? NASCAR is the only one that's decided to come out.
Well, NASCAR is
sure,
the only one tied to it.
You're right. I was going to say, I mean, you don't exactly see it with Major League Baseball.
Yeah. And I think that I saw Brian France's comments about, hey, we're going to bar Confederate flags at any NASCAR event. And
Good
I think
luck.
That's wrong. Because
Good
that.
Luck.
That is a
well. How are you going to enforce that?
He clearly hasn't walked around his parking
right.
lots or campgrounds. They're going to need an army of people to go out there and take the flags down. And
there's
going to be a group of people who are going to be so adamant about it that it ain't going to happen. There's
yeah,
no
mean,
way.
What are they going to do? They're going to fine people. They're going. Well, we're going to fine you.
Yeah.
Because yeah. you're talking. You know, at that point, you're talking about you know First Amendment. You know.
Right. I think NASCAR maybe made a stupid decision by even addressing this. They should have just ignored it. They'd have been better off because, you know, now you got to worry about, you know, a core group of your fans that you're disenfranchising. And at a time when your viewership's at all-time lows and track attendance is at all-time lows, yeah, let's just give another reason for our fans to not like us, you know?
I couldn't agree
more.
I
don't think they're keeping more by coming out against this Confederate flag, then they're losing. Because, you know, I don't think it's going to say, you know, all these people on Facebook who are beating this drum are going to say, oh, look at NASCAR. They're great. I think I'm going to go to a NASCAR race now.
Yeah,
right.
Good
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
Good
exactly.
point.
No, you're absolutely right. Listen, the torpedo that they
on
the torpedo
part.
They've launched has been that they have buried their own product in cable networks that people have to subscribe to in order to get. Which I think is absolutely stupid. The NFL can get away with that. Only the NFL can get away with that. And if you look at other leagues that are doing it the right way, NBA, they put a lot of their stuff on network television. MLB, network television. Oh, okay, you want to go NFL? That's the shortest. It's the shortest, most intense season that there is. And people will pay extra for that. But I got news for you. If my discretionary income is getting tight, and it means I can save $30 on my cable bill by dropping that tier of subscription, which includes Fox Sports 2 or NBC Sportsnet. You better believe that's the first thing I'm cutting. And who am I hurting? I ain't hurting me, and I ain't helping NASCAR. So NASCAR has a lot of other things I think they should look at in terms of housekeeping. I just had to bring it up only because we know, and we've just spent a good 10 minutes discussing how all at once this emblem of our national history has become the pariah. And here we go. We're going to go fording into the waters with Bill France, who can't find his backside with both hands most of the time. And we're going to make a statement on behalf of NASCAR that I think was spurious at best and probably out and out stupid at worst. If you were 30 seconds, final thought, if you were PR for NASCAR, what would you do about this now to change direction? Sidekick, what would you do if you were in PR and said, oh, we got to back off of this, we got to change courses, what would you do?
Oh, God, I don't. At this point, I don't think there's anything you can do because you can't reverse course now because now, you know, now you're, you know, Now you're aligning yourself with it. I think that, you know, at this point, you just shut up and keep your mouth shut. If it were me, I would have issued my initial statement saying, hey, we don't, you know, look, you know, we don't condone this. You know, we want to, you know, you set your little statement out there.
Right.
You don't go as far as saying we want to get rid of it at all events. You just kind of put your statement out there, distance yourself a little bit from it.
Right.
That you've made your statement, and then you shut up, and you don't ever bring it up again.
Exactly.
I agree, and that's how they opened it on Tuesday, and I thought that was the right thing to do.
If anything, I would have issued a statement to the driver, an internal memo to the drivers, and that saying, you know, or at least to the owners, to say, hey, we can't tell you not to talk about it, but when, you know, don't really get too deep into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know Fox Sports and people, they're going to walk up to every driver, mm-hmm. you know, and they're going to, especially the outspoken ones, and they're going to, the Keselowskis and the Tony Stewarts and stuff. Hey, what do you think about what do you think about this Confederate flag thing?
You think Mikey's going to make it part of his grid walk?
No.
My God, please. No.
He's going to wear it as a bonnet.
Lord.
What do you think, Brandon? We just heard from Dale Jr. that he's come out, and he's very adamantly opposed. I mean, is Dale Jr. doing himself any favors?
No, not really. I think he kind of falls along the same line. I will say, from a fan point of view, I don't think fans are going to just say, oh, I hate Dale Earnhardt Jr. now because he's the most popular driver. I think NASCAR screwed up. I don't think, and I kind of agree with Sidekick, I don't think they can really take it back. The only thing they'd be smart to do at this point, as Sidekick said, is they should just say nothing further, and they should do nothing at the track to try to, you know, remove flags from, spectators' vehicles or campers, or they should just leave it alone, because all they're going to do is make it worse.
Well, absolutely, because it's just like kids. If you tell kids, stop poking your sister, well, that means they're going to poke their sister even that much more. So you're absolutely right. I think Brian France is setting himself up to have more and more Confederate flags show up at events just to more or less say, hey, Brian, by the way, up your nose with that last line of cocaine. We only have about 10 minutes left. We should shift over and talk some fantasy. We didn't have Sidekick with us at the beginning to talk the Sonoma track, but, of course, we've got a 12-turn track. We've seen some pretty fun qualifying. We've seen some fun race practices out there. Sidekick, help us out. Kick it up for us here. This is a crapshoot right here, Sonoma. This one's unlike anything else we'll see all year.
Absolutely. And, you know, we used to, when we talked fantasy strategy the past several years, we used to always talk about, you know, the road course ringers that were always brought in.
Right.
And we started to, you know, like the Boris Seds and the, you know,
Ron
the
Bellows
Robbie,
and, yep.
Yeah, the Robbie Gordons and stuff. And, you know, we used to make a point of, hey, you know, make sure you put a couple of these ringers on your, you know, on your rosters and stuff like that. But I got to say, I don't think that's as important now
anymore.
As it used to be, because the regular drivers, sure, there are some drivers that don't do road courses and they hate it. But I think all, you know, if you look at it as a collective, I think that the road course skill level has come up amongst the various teams. You still have a couple people that'll, you know, they'll get one of their, you know, low tier drivers out, and they'll get one of these road course guys in, you know, to try and pick up a couple points and stuff. But I think, you know, ultimately, I think the skill level has risen,
yep.
which I think is a valid argument for putting a road course in the chase.
I agree.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about it. I think that the skill levels come up that I think we need to put one in there.
We just see that Watkins Glen was voted the most popular track? I believe there was a vote done. I was reading earlier this week. Watkins Glen was voted as the number one favorite track by NASCAR fans. So that's
interesting. That
goes
interesting.
Right to your point.
From a audience on the ground situation, I would find that interesting because, I mean, I've not been to a road course, but Brandon's even pointed out, and it makes a lot of sense. If you're there on the ground as an audience member, it's got to be difficult to watch a road course.
Oh, it is. I've been to Watkins Glen for a NASCAR race. You can only watch part of the track at a time. And you know, now they're putting on these nice big video boards, which probably make the on-track experience better. I would imagine you can kind of keep track of it as it goes around. But yeah, I mean, even I go to motorcycle road races a lot too. I'm going to one in September, and I won't be able to see the whole track. There's no location where you can ever see probably a whole road course, just by, you know, because they're spread out and sprawling across, you know, a couple miles. As
right.
Some of these are, you know, I believe Road America, that everybody, you know, agrees that should be a candidate to get added to the NASCAR schedule, 4 mile track. 4 miles around. How? There's no way you're going to see that.
That one seems more condensed, though.
Yeah, but it's still one of the longer ones at 4 miles. I mean, I think Sonoma's only around 2 that we have today. Maybe
yep,
a little
two
over
miles.
2.
1.99. Mm-hmm.
1.99,
yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, you start talking about 4 miles spread out. Wow, you're, you know, that's a little, you know, it's tough. But, you know what, people are watching it. People are watching on TV. People are going to the road course races. So, you know, NASCAR needs their own drivers. I mean, Kevin Harvick came out months ago, said, hey, we need this. We need a road course in the chase. So, you know, maybe they're going to start. Maybe they'll get smart and listen to somebody.
Well, we're going to listen to Sidekick. That's what we're going to
yep,
do.
Yep.
I think let's get smart. And Sidekick, help us out. You've got you're in the chase, by the way. We're keeping the chase records here for the Frat House Sports Fantasy
yep.
League. And, of course, you're in the chase. You've got 2 wins with
both
one team.
Teams.
Got one,
I believe,
one
right?
win with the other.
Yes, both teams.
Right. You're in both teams. 2 wins on one side, 1 on the other. Brandon is in with a win as well. I'm barely hanging on with some points. We need to give Frat House Mike the best possible option today so that he can get in the chase as well. Who do we like, Psychic?
Well, for the show, you know, roster, the Reeds Eastbound and Downers, you know, it's getting difficult to switch up drivers because some of these guys are just getting too blooming expensive. Yeah, they must be toying with the Ross.
Oh yeah,
the money, because they're. It almost feels like they're getting to the point where they're pushing that you keep your drivers every week, and you
yep.
kind of start you pick them in the beginning and you stay with them. So I made one tweak on both rosters basically, but it's. It's basically saying, because I'm running Kevin Harvick. He's 28.75. I cannot drop this guy now. You
mm-hmm.
know?
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, the show roster is going to be Kevin Harvick, Kurt Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Casey Mears, David Gilliland. I'm going with my winner as Kurt Busch in the Chevy.
Is that your call? My dust too?
What's that?
Is that the
Eat My
Dust pick too?
Yes.
Kurt Busch.
And then for my spring rubber in the rear, I'm running Kevin Harvick, Kurt Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Sam Hornish Jr., and Mike Annette with Kurt Busch and Chevy.
Okay.
Right, Kurt Busch both ways. Very good. Now, Eat My Dust, we're looking at the leaderboard here. Brandon, you're up top. You got 4 points with the win 2 weeks ago as a result of the finish at Michigan. Sidekick is right behind you, 29 points, Brandon. Sidekick's right there at 28. Frat House Mike, 26, and I sit, of course, as the back marker with 22. Go ahead, Brandon, lay it on us, and I'll be curious to hear your Eat My Dust pick when you get there.
Yeah, I think you're going to like it. I'm pretty sure one of our Frat House Sports fans is going to love it. Anyway, I'm probably tipping my hat there a little.
Yeah, I think we got it. Yeah, go ahead.
Are you listening, Liz?
Yeah,
Liz.
You're going to like
Liz Garnatti.
You're going to like it. Anyway, on my team, I have Martin Truex Jr. and Harvick. I'm kind of in the same boat as Sidekick, where you just can't afford to get rid of them. I've added your guy, Kyle Larson, Uncle Mark, because I think Kyle Larson's shown in a couple of practices that he's got his car running pretty good at this track, and his teammate, you know, had the track record last year. So obviously, Canassi Racing's got IndyCar tied, so they know how to get around a road course. I still got David Ragan on my team, and I'm liking it this week. I like where he's been, and I added A.J. Allmendinger and took A.J. Allmendinger to win with Chevrolet, and Allmendinger would be my Eat My Dust pick. I think he's going to build on his momentum.
Outstanding. outstanding. And, you know, not for nothing, I'll just throw it in there because I kind of like that Kyle Larson. He's got something looking like a frat house sports paint scheme this week.
Oh, the first one.
What we need to do, I got to figure out a way to get him to get one of our, you know, frat house sports bumper stickers on there. Because that paint scheme, that would be just dynamite. Okay, very good. So we got AJ. And we've got Kurt Busch, Eat My Dust. Go ahead, Frat House Mike, lay it on us.
Real quick, though, interesting couple of facts here. Fantasy numbers, the top five drivers over the past five races at Sonoma in fantasy points. Ready? Number one, Johnson. Number two, Kurt Busch. Three is Jeff Gordon. Four, Clint Bowyer. Five is Martin Truex Jr. Those have been the top five fantasy point-getting drivers over the last five races at Sonoma.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going with two of them on my roster. I didn't make too many changes. Jeff Gordon, sticking with at the top. Kyle Busch, number two. You can't get away from Martin Truex Jr. I can't drop him.
Nope.
You know, his value's going up $7.50, so I'd be foolish. So Martin Truex Jr.'s on there. I'm putting A.J. Allmendinger in there and David Reagan as well. My Eat My Dust for this week. Well, Jeff Gordon, I think, has won here more than any other driver right now. I think he's won five times. Go on with Gordon.
Sometimes Frat House Mike is just stupid old.
I know.
But he does have lovely white hair.
Thank you.
Well, very
Sarah
good.
Sarah apparently approves.
Very good. So you got Gordon. All right, so we got Gordon, we got Kurt, and we've got AJ. All right, I normally don't share my roster, but I'll go ahead and throw it out there just for the heck of it this week. I've had him, I'll keep him. Truex Jr., I've had him, I'll keep him. I did throw on Clint Bowyer. I did pick up A.J. Allmendinger, and I like that Casey Mears to maybe get me some points for place differential. We'll see. However, I'll switch it up on the fantasy roster. I actually did pick Gordon to win this, and Chevy as the manufacturer. But just to be different, because the only fun of this is to pick different drivers. I'm going to roll the bush, dice rather. Well, I might roll the bush. Later. I'm going to roll the dice, and we're going to pick up. That's what she said. I'm going to roll the dice, and we're going to go with Bowyer for the win. I think Bowyer
That's
actually
not a bad
could
choice.
I think he actually
position to get a win.
Yeah, I had a feeling something was coming there, psychic. I had a feeling something was coming there. Yeah, right. I'm gonna roll the bush. Yeah, well, All right, folks. If you've been out there, we've reached just about the end of our segment here, gentlemen. It's been a lot of fun. Now we are getting together. Is that right? Next Sunday. At our regular time, is that correct? We're going to have the evening race.
I spoke earlier in the week to Frat House Mike. I can't get it out of my head that it's not a Saturday night race; it's a Sunday night race next week.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would imagine we'd be normal.
Yeah, I did the same thing earlier, Brandon. When I opened the show, I initially said Saturday as well because we're used to that. If it's going to be an evening race, that it would be on Saturday, but it's going to be on Sunday. Okay, so I've been told. I've been told by Sarah in my ear we have 90 seconds. Well, here, I guess what we'll do, we're going to thank Sidekick for joining us. You know, he got here late, but it's always fun to have him. Thank you so much. Of course, Sidekick, for your fantasy update. Of course, Frat House Mike, my crew chief, Brandon. Folks, if you're out there, enjoy the racing today at Sonoma. Don't forget to kick the tires. As always, you can keep us real, keep us live, and keep us going by finding us on Facebook, Frat House Sports. Find us on Facebook. Look for our purple icon. Give us a like and updates for all of our broadcasts here on Blog Talk Radio are found there for the entire week, and there's a lot of broadcasting that comes your way 5 days, five nights a week. So don't you dare miss it. Gentlemen, enjoy the day. I'm going to let you all go. And, folks, come back and find us next Sunday at 11 a.m. for a Race Trim Motorsports Hour prior to the Daytona 500. Enjoy the racing, folks.